Good evening and welcome to Radio EduTalk. My name is David Noble and you're listening to the Professional Learning for Teachers channel on a Thursday evening. Delighted to have on the show tonight Philip Wilson from Balerno Community High School. Welcome to the show, Phil.
Thanks very much indeed. Thanks for having me. I hope you can hear me okay. I've found the only room in my house with thick carpet and so hopefully that will help the acoustics. Yeah. And I've just managed to get my cat out of the room as well, so hopefully we shouldn't be disturbed too much.
Yeah, no,
it's very nice to meet you as well.
Brilliant, and you're sounding great, Phil. We'll just say that if you're listening to the live show or indeed the podcast at edutalk.cc, you can get in touch. So if you've got a comment or a question for Phil, just email edutalker, that's edutalkr, at hotmail.co.uk, or if you're on Twitter, just put your question or comment or whatever for Phil and include the hashtag EduTalk. So Phil, just give us a bit of kind of background to your career in education.
Well, I'm 46 years old. I'm a teacher of chemistry. And basically, I've sort of came to Scotland in the early 90s to do a PhD, fell in love with the place, met my wife here as well, and decided after doing several sort of academic jobs at various universities and also doing various other jobs like driving hire cars around Scotland and office jobs as well, I decided that I wanted to go into education and teaching full time because I really enjoyed the social side of things in terms of interacting with people, but also I had always enjoyed teaching people as well. So I went to Moy House in about 10 years ago, worked there with Douglas Buchanan to get my PGCE. And then for my probationary year, I went to St Margaret's School for Girls in Edinburgh and then continued the private sector trend and went on to St George's School for Girls as well. But the big break came when I decided to move into the state sector. So I jumped across there to Wester Hales. And I've also worked at Trinity Academy and finally ending up at Balerno High School. So I feel as though before I came to teaching, I'd maybe got quite a bit of experience in other fields. And I've also feel quite privileged that I've had a chance to sort of sample the private sector as well as the state sector as well. And amongst all that as well, I have been a principal teacher for several years until the new faculty system came in when I decided not to sort of go for the faculty head. So I feel as though I've got a reasonable range of sort of experiences as well. And in 2007, I started the Standard for Chartered Teacher at Moy House, working with Gillian Robinson, who's been fantastic throughout. And this year, onto the final module now, so there's kind of light at the end of the tunnel as well. So without trying to bore people, that's kind of where I am at the moment, sitting on the final module of Chartered Teacher.
Okay, no, that's really interesting. And mentioning there about your chartered teacher studies, and as we do nowadays on Radio EduTalk, we ask our guests to submit a couple of reflective questions for yeah. listeners that they can take on board or not,
sure, yeah.
at their leisure. So your two questions relate to chartered teachers and the
Absolutely
scheme.
Right,
So your first one just asks, should the current chartered teacher scheme have been scrapped? Chartered teacher is going to be replaced by the Standard for Career Long Professional Learning. What are people's initial thoughts about this change? And your second question is, what impact are chartered teachers having in schools? Do you want to say a bit about those, your own thoughts at the moment? Or
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I've been in a position with other people who are doing chartered teacher where during the actual chartered teacher course itself, it was pulled effectively. So that's caused kind of a lot of angst in terms of people who are doing chartered teacher. So the key question is there. Yes, they are scrapping it under the McCormick agreement that will come in eventually, but was it a good thing to do in the first place? So I'd love to hear from listeners about what they feel about maybe people who've done chartered teacher and are now actually utilising it in schools as well, and what impact that might be having on in schools as well. Because certainly I think from what I'm reading now, and I'm no expert on this, so again, I'd love to get feedback from your listeners about where we stand at the moment, but I've read a little bit about the Standard for Career Long Professional Training, which I think supersedes the Standard for Chartered Teacher, which was set up under Macrone. And I'd like to maybe know other people's views about what they perceive that to mean in the future as well. From what I can see as well, having sort of read around things a little bit, it's effectively sort of, I think, the new McCormack standard for career-long professional learning is trying to introduce, I think, teacher leadership more into schools, so possibly moving away a little bit from this top-down leadership sort of structure that's been in schools before, to looking at more things like distributed leadership, where everybody takes on a role of responsibility. And I think trying to encourage as well collaborative rather than sort of contrived collegiality as well, this way that mm-hmm. we genuinely want to change things for the better, working together sort of more effectively as well. So I think that's my view on where it's heading at the moment. And the reason why I asked the second question about what impact a chartered teacher is having in schools is the case whereby people have obviously maybe got the chartered teacher qualifications, but then are they actually using that within schools as well? So I'd be very interested to know sort of what's happening there as well, because at least the McCormack sort of initiative might make more sort of chartered teachers actually be in positions of leadership where they can actually lead using their expertise as well. So that's really where I'm coming from with those questions. I don't really know very much about it in terms of what's actually happening in schools and what effect the chartered teacher has had, and what effect the new standard for career-long professional learning might have in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just a couple of very interesting questions there, Phil, and thanks very much for posing them. Maybe just as we're getting into this, can you tell us a bit more about about Balerno Community High School?
Yeah, sure. It's in a leafy suburb of Edinburgh. It's on the western side of Edinburgh, and it kind of just snuggles on the sort of the outskirts of the Pentlands as well. It's a lovely sort of area. And being brought up in the north of England, I kind of feel at home in that sort of environment with the hills as well. And for me, the real great thing about Balerno are the kids. The kids are fantastic. It's got a feeling of a proper comprehensive school. You've got a really good range of pupils there as well. And basically, it's been a challenging year this year with all the new changes that are taking place in secondary schools in terms of the national qualifications and also the new hires that are coming in as well. So basically, we're just trying to do the best we can to make those changes and do the best we can for the children there as well.
Maybe just jump right forward to your MTeach final project. And is that
sure? Yeah,
it'd be interesting to hear a bit about your journey. And also obviously about what kind of topics you've decided to focus on, and maybe to hear a little bit about the research, if that's an appropriate stage that you've reached thus far.
Sure, yeah. And forgive me as well if I don't use some of the key buzzwords and things like that. If Gillian's listening, I apologise in advance for maybe not getting some of the right lingo here. But basically, I mean, I think the key thing for me, what's really been challenging but I've really enjoyed, is the academic side of the research and bringing that and actually making it useful and productive for what you're actually doing in the classroom as well. And that's always a challenge. It's disseminating the aesthetic side of the research from the university side and trying to make sense of it and then using it in the classroom and making it meaningful as well and learning from that. So I think that's been one of the challenges I've really enjoyed doing, and we've been supported really well at Moray House under Gillian, because it has been challenging at times to sort of to do that effectively. But I've been very lucky as well. I feel as though I've chosen quite a range of different topics, some of them that maybe go beyond areas that I would normally sort of thought I'd be interested in. So again, that's really opened up a much bigger picture for me. I tend sometimes just to sort of focus on areas that are sort of immediately useful to me, but without realising that when you go beyond those, there's a lot of other interesting things as well, and chartered teachers really sort of enhanced my practice in terms of thinking about the bigger picture and thinking about things that might just go beyond the immediacy of the classroom as well. So I can give you an example of that. For example, I think the first module I did, chartered teacher, was a self-evaluation one, looking at professionalism and the role of professionalism. And it was very interesting to think about the values that teachers need to bring to the job, where we stand within the public services as well, and basically where do teachers stand in society. So again, it's that bigger picture, looking at things beyond the classroom as well, which I found really interesting. So that was a really interesting start for me to look at myself as a person and think about why I've gone into teaching and where I stand now as a professional in terms of the profession as well. And then following on from that, various other things I've looked at. There was probably, for me, the module in Chartered Teacher that really kind of made me open my eyes was the second one called Working Together. And at that point, I'd just become a principal teacher, and I was very busy, and I thought I was maybe interacting and working well with colleagues, trying to do the best I could under always busy sort of situation. And it was only when I did this module, it really sort of opened my eyes to the idea that actually, I think you need to look at yourself in a bit more detail and look at yourself in the mirror and see what are you actually doing in terms of how you work with other people rather than what you think you're doing as well. And if I remember right, again, I'm going to have to try and remember the key words here. I think there was three things we had to look at, and one of them was something called congruence, which is basically how closely does what I say match what I actually feel and think. And I often found myself maybe saying things to people when actually I was thinking the opposite or having to sort of put on a brave face about things as well. And that brought me up sharp in making me realise that actually to engage with a colleague, you've got to be a little bit more open and make them realise how you're feeling as much as how they're feeling as well. Another part of it as well, which I found fascinating, was something, again, it's a bit of a mouthful, this, I think it was unconditional positive regard, which is basically...
Carol Rogers, yeah.
Yeah, which is basically, I think, a posh way of saying, do I value a person for who they are, I think, regardless of their values and behaviour? And again, there'd be days when I'd be working away with folk as well and maybe thinking, you know, not valuing the people as much as I should have done based upon who they were and what they're actually doing as well. So again, that was a real eye-opener. And the third part as well, which I felt really started to help me become a much better person at working with other people, was the empathy side as well. I'd always thought I was a fairly empathetic person towards other people, but I'd never necessarily sort of really put myself in their shoes and thought about how they might be feeling or why they're actually acting as well in the way they were. And that goes not only for colleagues, but also for, you know, children as well. So that to me was a real eye-opener about sort of the social side of teaching, working with colleagues as well as working with pupils about who you are as a teacher, where you're coming from. So that was really interesting. And that would be something I would never have thought about unless I'd gone down the Chartered Teacher route. So I hope that gives you a flavour of maybe the modules in terms of what it did for me in terms of enhancing my teaching beyond the classroom as well.
Now, I'm wondering where this fits in terms of, you know, kind of reading over some of your work. You know, you've kind of looked into the quality of feedback or the nature of feedback and interactions and such like, and obviously that ties in with some of these kind of theories that you've just spoken about. So did that fit right into your project on the kind of interactions and the teamwork with learning assistants?
Yeah, I mean, working together sort of, it really opened my eyes as well in terms of not just working with pupils and working with your immediate colleagues, but also further afield within the school as well, how you interacted with for example, the teaching assistants as well. And that became a focus for one of my modules as well. And that is one that I've actually come back to as my final sort of MTeach project as well, in terms of how we can interact more effectively with teaching assistants, because I think that's a real, really challenging area, because in terms of working with them effectively, we have so little time now to actually engage with them before or after lessons. So we've got to think fairly smartly now and imaginatively about ways that we can engage with them more during class time as well. So that's something I'm working on at the moment. But in terms of sort of interacting with people as well, in terms of the way we talk to people as well, one area that I found very interesting was looking at sort of pupil-pupil and teacher-pupil interactions as well, and the type of talk that goes on. And that became very interesting because I hadn't realised before Chartered Teacher that, you know, there are different types of talk. For example, there's the type of talk where you would genuinely listen and share ideas as well. And that's something that, again, kept coming back to me as a principal teacher, was that I would often be in a situation where I was so busy that I would put on all the sort of manifestations of pretending to listen, nodding the head and the visual cues of sort of looking at people as well. But actually, my mind was elsewhere. And that was a real heads up to say, you know, what you need to be doing here is genuinely listening to people and sharing with them what they're talking about as well. So that really helped me to develop as a as a sort of leader as well as a principal teacher. But it also sort of then it also sort of overlapped with what was happening in the classroom in terms of talking to teaching assistants and talking to children as well, and then looking at how that type of talk was what was happening in the classroom there as well. So I then discovered, for example, that children often, when they're working in groups, and this was an area of collaborative learning as well that was becoming a focus for me as well, was what type of talk were the kids using between each other. And again, you get the exploratory talk where kids are genuinely listening and sharing ideas, and there didn't seem to be genuinely much sense of that when I first started the project. But what I did notice was there's much other types of talk, like people listening in a sort of uncritical way and just accepting what other people were saying, or just probably more so competitive talk where kids were trying to outdo each other as well in terms of who got the last word and who was listened to most as well. So again, although that may have been relevant to sort of pupil-pupil talk, it was also very relevant in terms of how I was speaking to the pupils as well, and also ultimately how I was speaking to colleagues. So again, that kind of tied in there with the collaborative learning, which I found really interesting as well.
And was that the first point in your studies then, where specifically your charter teacher studies, where you were then collecting some data? I think it was audio recordings that you
absolutely mentioned? Yeah, I mean, that was an unbelievable moment. If you haven't done any kind of self analysis using audio or visual means, then do it by all means, but be prepared to be totally shocked by what you see. It was quite a moment when you listen back on yourself, and again, I'm going to listen back on this broadcast in the future very hesitantly, because what you hear yourself saying is really quite unbelievable. You just can't believe why you're saying things, what you say and how you say it as well. It's really quite a shock to the system, but you soon overcome that. And I think when you begin to start to sort of transcribe in detail what was spoken between yourselves and pupils, and between pupils as well, that really begins to tease out the different types of talk that was going on. So I found that really, really useful. A way of collecting data was just to sort of have something where we could record pupil voices as well. And it was great to hear what pupils were saying as well, particularly although they knew they were being recorded, the teacher would be maybe away from them as well. So you've got a different perspective there in terms of the teacher not being in their immediate sort of zone as well. So that was a real eye-opener in terms of ways of collecting data. I haven't got around to actually filming myself yet, but certainly the audio side is something that I found very useful to collect information with as well.
And I noticed in that particular project on paper that you wrote up, the first line of your conclusion states that, you stated that children working together do not necessarily learn together. So that really stands out from the page. Is that just around the fact that there has to be some kind of structure or expectation in terms of what types of talk, or giving young people various cues or encouraging
absolutely
them?
Yeah, I think with children you've got to sort of provide a model to show them what is effective and motivate them as well in terms of get them to realise why it's important that you need to listen and share your ideas genuinely through sort of exploratory talk, rather than sort of this more competitive or uncritical type of talk that might go on as well. And that kind of led in as well in terms of how I could improve that. And one area I looked at was collaborative learning, which I've been on several courses now. And I found that very useful, because what's happening there as well is that you've got children who are kind of pursuing a common goal. It could be during a discussion or whatever, but you're making sure that all the pupils are engaged as well, and that's crucial in any kind of sort of social environment, in any kind of group work as well. So I found this idea of using sort of collaborative, cooperative learning strategies very useful to sort of tie in and mix in when I was speaking about the sort of the pupil-pupil talk as well. And that kind of also overlaps with something to do with active learning, which I also looked at in the module as well, in terms of getting pupils to sort of construct their own learning in a collaborative way as well. And that required genuine pupil-pupil talk as well, where they were listening and sharing. So I think if Gillian will give me a thumbs up here, but I think the one sort of phrase that came out from all of this was sort of social constructivism. And I'm not a great one for all these sort of aesthetic terms or whatever, but that's one thing that has stuck with me, and I think that goes to the very heart of effective teaching and learning as well. So that's had a major impact on me now in terms of how I approach group work, how I approach sort of pupil talk as well, and active learning. So again, I think modules 1, 2, and 3 were the real eye-openers for me in terms of opening up a whole plethora of new ideas that I'd never even thought about before in sort of my classroom practice.
Mm-hmm. And I keep putting guests on the spot when it comes to when they mention cooperative learning. So what are the kind of basic tenets then that you've taken out of your courses and your reading in terms of those that you then apply regularly within the classroom? Look different? How do the interactions different or enhanced?
Yeah, I mean there are now, I know a lot of people have sort of maybe been on cooperative learning courses, and they have sort of thrown out a huge number of ideas, and it's a case of like any teaching where you take these ideas back to the classroom, you try them out. If they work, great, that's great, we'll run with those. If they don't, you try and tweak them or you reject them. And what I found with cooperative learning is that for me, the real issue, the real challenge in group work, to get effective group work, was to make sure all the kids were actively engaged at all times. You could put kids together in groups, and it was usually the case that maybe one or two pupils would begin to dominate and others were kind of just like hangers on. So what I felt was really useful there was to pick up a lot of strategies that would help you sort of make sure that all kids were engaged at all times as well. And I'll give you a very, very simple example of that. If, for example, they're doing a joint poster together or kids need to get down information about something, their own ideas, then, you know, just split a piece of paper up into four and you get each kid to write in the corner so you know that they've all contributed, or get them to use different coloured pens as well. So these are all fairly low-level strategies in themselves, but when you combine them together with other strategies as well, it suddenly begins to pick up the lesson in terms of making more pupils engaged for more of the time as well. But I guess as well, the one thing I'll be aware of as well is something I've looked at throughout my Chartered Teacher Studies has been Hattie's League Table of sort of what best raises pupil attainment. And you look at that list, and from what I can see, it is probably the best of what we've got in terms of any kind of academic sort of viewpoint on what are the best learning strategies to raise pupil attainment. And something like cooperative learning, you know, comes around about 30th in that league table. So according to this big meta study, which is, you know, a big huge study of lots of other studies, cooperative learning is, you know, there are 29 other strategies that are potentially more effective than cooperative learning as well. So I think for me as a teacher, what I've taken away from all this is that you've got to use all these different sort of potential ideas and use them together, mix them around. It's just yet another tool in a toolbox. So I use collaborative learning when I think it's most effective, and not necessarily all the time. And that's just one more tool that I pick out when I think it's most effective. One thing I tend to use it for a lot is revision time, is when we're doing revision, is to get kids to work together in a cooperative way. And that really helps in terms of peer assessment and also in terms of pupil talk as well. So it is, yeah, just one tool like that that hopefully I use amongst many others as well.
Mm-hmm. Just remind listeners that you're listening to Phil Wilson of Balerno Community High School. And if you've got any questions or comments for Phil, then you can email edutalker@hotmail.co.uk. Or you can pop something up on Twitter and include the hashtag EduTalk. Now, just going into the last 10 minutes or so, Phil, and just be interested to hear more about, you know, your actual current activities around your kind of final project. But just firstly, you mentioned that you revisited your relationship and your work with learning assistants. You decided to make that the focus of your final project. So
that's right, yeah.
What was the prompt for that? Was there something in the data you were collecting back then, or in your subsequent reading, or did something happen within the school? Why did you choose to go ahead with that particular focus?
Sure, yeah. It wasn't a particular single or definitive moment. It's something that's been kind of sort of growing all the time, because one thing about Chartered Teacher I felt quite strongly about was I would finish a module and then kind of move on and hopefully I've learned something from it and can apply it in the future. And I just felt with the initial module that I'd done with the teaching assistants that there was still somewhere else to go with that. We'd done an analysis of how we worked together. We tried to come up with strategies that would maybe enhance our effectiveness in terms of working together, but I didn't feel as though we'd maybe been imaginative enough or whether we'd found the right solutions to what I think is a really challenging issue about working together effectively with teaching assistants when you've got so little time to actually engage with them. So I want to revisit that. And I think it's quite nice to revisit something in Chartered Teacher anyway, because I would like to think that all the other things that I've sort of learned and sort of gained on this journey, I don't know why I use the word journey, I don't like it, but I keep using it. So, and I just want to sort of feed in things that I've learned from elsewhere as well and see if we can now approach the issue again and see if we can sort of try and improve things a wee bit more this time. So really what I'm looking for is kind of looking at what type of support and training for teachers, the focus here being on teachers and what we can do in terms of enhancing and working more effectively with the teaching assistants. And also as well, I think one of the issues as well was basically, you know, what's the role and purpose of the teaching assistant and what shouldn't it be? I want to try and make that really clear to kind of establish consistency and avoid sort of like a role ambiguity that can kind of creep in as well. So, I mean, the teaching assistants at Blurn do a fantastic job, and all the teaching assistants I've ever worked with do a great job as well. But I just feel as though that's something we can go back to and try and improve as well, even though we are hugely constrained by the time limits that we have in terms of sort of effectively working together outside the classroom, either before the lesson in terms of preparation or after the lesson in terms of feedback and then working out strategies for the future as well. I think another issue as well for me personally, an area that I haven't really touched on from my Chartered Teacher, and that is probably a little bit of a regret, is looking more at special educational needs. I've kind of done a little bit of sort of fairly superficial reading around it. I've sort of been on one or two courses, but I don't feel as though I've dug deep enough there to really understand and get my head around how to effectively deal with pupils who have special educational needs. So I think that could be an interesting focus as well, where we can maybe look at how teachers and teaching assistants work together effectively, often in a classroom that has very mixed abilities and also can also have special educational needs kids as well, how we can best utilise each other's skills to kind of maximise pupil learning and attainment as well. So it's a challenge, but it's something that I would love to have a go at, because I feel it's unfinished business.
Mm-hmm. And I assume that you are or have been collecting fresh data.
I'm just actually in the preparation, sort of in the phase of starting to collect that data now. Yes. Yeah. So my kind of plan of action is initially I'm going to do sort of like a situational analysis, finding out what's going on at the moment in the classrooms from a teacher perspective, as well as from a teaching assistant perspective as well. So initially I'm going to use some questionnaires to get a bigger overall picture of things there as well, particularly trying to find out what barriers there are to sort of to effective practice of working together. And I think we know some of those already, but you always want to find out if there's other things as well. And then I'm hoping they're going to follow that up, the questionnaires up, with specific questions that's a sort of semi-structured of the interviews, where I want to tease out a little bit more some of the key parts that have come out from the questionnaires, those little interesting insights and comments and things from teachers and teaching assistants as well. So that will be the first stage of that. And then looking to sort of maybe observe people as well to find out what people are actually doing in the classroom compared to maybe what they think they're doing in the classroom. And that's as much a case for teachers as it is for teaching assistants as well. And I think crucial as well, looking at the interaction between the teachers and the teaching assistants in terms of how we actually interact with the pupils. So those would be the main sort of areas I'd be looking at. And again, that might include things like audio recording, the pupil-teacher-assistant talk and the pupil-teacher talk as well. And also maybe the teacher and the teaching assistant talk as well, to find out what's going on there as well. And I think also as well, keeping a constant diary and notes about what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing from folk as well, as this whole process sort of goes on as well. But I'm really keen to make it something that's sort of a collaborative project, something that's ongoing and will sort of develop over time as well, and that hopefully over time as a chartered teacher I can kind of take a back seat and a hands-off approach and allow hopefully the enhanced collaboration to continue initially throughout my sort of science department that I work in, and then anything that we sort of discover and that we can utilise as new strategies, we can then feed to the rest of the school, hopefully in a way that will enhance the teaching assistants and the teacher work together across the whole school.
Yeah, I would imagine there's no easy answer to this, Phil, but how is it a long-term project, maybe, sorry, not even a project, but in the back of your mind, trying to make sure that there's a high degree of trust and starting to build the potential for collaboration? Because I would imagine you're talking about the time factor, but also some of the aspects of the research that you're in, the data collection that you're talking about, it's quite invasive in certain respects. It could make people feel quite anxious, but obviously not if they're, part of a genuinely collaborative effort.
Exactly, and I think that's the key point of any successful sort of long-term project, is you've got to gain the trust of the people involved as well, and that's something that I'm going to be spending quite a bit of time on in terms of explaining what's happening and what we're trying to aim for. You know, initially you want to probably tell people that this is not going to be some kind of audit. What we're looking for is good practice. What we're looking for are barriers, and then how we can help each other out as well. And I think this kind of comes back to the Macron thing as well, in terms of looking for that sort of collaborative working together rather than sort of contrived collegiality that's maybe been forced upon us. You're looking to make this something that's going to be a long-term thing that's going to have lasting benefits as well. And again, going back to what I learned from the working together module, this is what I really like about chartered teachers. What you learned in previous modules, you can now apply to later ones. And this idea of how to work together with other people will be something I'll be using to actually sort of lay the ground to sort of help people work together as well. And then as hopefully as that begins to develop, I can kind of take a step back and a less hands-on approach as well. So I'm acutely aware of the potential issues in terms of the barriers to making this a successful project. And I know it's going to be a long-term, ongoing one. And it's about getting people on your side. And I think most people realise in teaching anyway, what it's really all about, what it really comes down to, is what's best for the kids and doing what we can for the kids. And if you keep that in mind at all times, you can't go far wrong. So that's the overall aim. But obviously there'll be issues as we go along. There's always sort of challenging moments as well. But it's a case of keep trying to work through those to get to a positive end point.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that with most final projects or pieces of practitioner research or master's level inquiry, that you need to be providing a context in terms of the body of literature that's out there, and as well as possibly previous research studies as well. But I'm guessing that there might not be a lot out there.
Well, it's an interesting one, actually. The first piece of research I read, I kind of read with an open mouth. It was kind of like a jaw-dropping moment. And to be perfectly honest, I need to sort of kind of see this from my own experience as well. But what the literature was basically saying overall was that, how can I put this? I mean, they kind of done a lot of meta-analysis, which basically means that people have brought together all the research that they could in this area, and had looked at the overall picture. And what they found was that teaching assistants, you know, undoubtedly contribute a huge amount to the classroom in terms of helping management and organisation, and also helping pupils learning as well. But what they were saying, that the overall picture was that really it wasn't really adding too much to the learning of the children when they dug a little bit deeper. And this seemed really quite a provocative, you know, kind of conclusion as well. It kind of surprised me totally. I'd always assume that if you've got a teaching assistant in the classroom, it can only enhance the learning of the pupils. But I think what was happening was that maybe because the interaction between the teacher and the teaching assistant is not as well tuned as it can be, that can ultimately have negative effects on pupils' learning. So it is in absolutely no way the fault of the teaching assistants. what it comes down to, I think, is the teacher and the teaching assistant somehow trying to sort of work together more effectively as well. So I found that a real surprise when I first read that, in terms of the almost like the negative impact it was having on people's learning. And that, I think that's quite controversial, but it's what the authors from these various studies were saying. So I want to go away and, you know, I'm not going to look at that in terms of too much detail, because to gather data and actually prove that, I think, would be quite difficult. What I'm looking for is sort of a way of sort of taking it forward, whereby the teaching assistant and the teacher can in some way sort of enhance their sort of working together, and hopefully that would then have a positive impact on people's learning as well.
And just finally, Phil, can you say a bit about how your kind of professional learning activities in recent years have kind of changed your approach as a professional? I mean, I know going back to Charter Teacher, one of the as you alluded to, one of the early pieces of work that you have to do is reflecting on the nature of professionalism, and I would imagine that was maybe some years ago now. But how have things changed for you in terms of your outlook on the profession and your own kind of values and capacities?
Sure, yeah. I mean, one thing that I think I need to do more about in teaching anyway is I've tended to be a classroom teacher. I have been a PT for a period as well, but I've still not gone beyond outside of that zone in terms of maybe working in other areas like pupil support as well. And I'm now, having done Chartered Teacher, that's kind of given me another avenue into realising, you know, the bigger picture about what education is all about. This idea that, you know, it's not just about what happens in the classroom. You've got to take on board all the issues in terms of what's affecting young people outside the classroom as well. So I think the big thing for me is it's not only sort of shone a spotlight on me as a person in terms of making me look at myself and how I sort of interact with people and how I sort of teach as well, but also it's shone a light elsewhere into areas that maybe before I hadn't taken as much interest as I should have done. So it's opened up a lot of things now to do with things like, for example, social justice and inclusion in the classroom as well, which is an area that I'm becoming much more passionate about because I'm beginning to understand it more as well. And I think the trigger for that was things like, for example, the new national qualifications. And in particular, I did a little module on the National 4 qualifications and how that was going to maybe... And how that could affect sort of young people's life chances when they leave school as well, because there are issues about the credibility of the National 4 exam in terms of there's no external exam. And again, I felt that was a real issue in terms of equality and discrimination and social justice and things like that as well. These are all areas that I've never even thought about as a teacher. So again, it just opened up those other areas. And it just makes you realise as well, I think, that there's so much out there. It often raises more questions sometimes than it answers, but that's a great thing because it just encourages you to continue to want to develop professionally as well. And I have by no means sort of found all the answers yet, but I really enjoy trying to find them and trying to improve my teaching and learning and also my sort of view of education in general as well. So for me, it's been a hugely positive sort of thing to do, Chartered Teacher. It's been very challenging and there's been highs and lows as well, but I'd just like to thank the people at Moray House as well, in particular Gillian Robinson, for all their support, genuine support as well, and particularly helping us out through each module as well as helping us out when the Chartered Teachers scheme was pulled as well. That was a devastating moment. So so thank you for them for all their support as well. But it's something I would, whatever happens in the future in terms of the new standards for career-long professional learning or whatever it's called, I hope people sort of, we'll at least try and engage with it because it's been a huge eye-opener to me in terms of seeing the bigger picture of education as well.
Yeah, and I would certainly echo your thoughts on the wonderful work and the amazing tutors at Moray House. I know Gillian well myself and teams present and past that have had such an impact on me as a person and on my practice. It's very simple
these things that, you know, the way you interact with people and the way you support people is so important in whatever sort of career, whatever sort of job sphere you're in or whatever, and I think they've done that really well. So I just like the way that I'm sure it happens in other sort of Chartered Teacher courses as well. I like that mix of sort of the rigorous academic side of things but also the social side, where when you come together as Chartered Teachers or prospective Chartered Teachers, you know, you have that opportunity to talk, and I love that thought, that idea of talking to other people, with sort of Gillian's eye, professional eye there as well, which is great. So I've thoroughly enjoyed the whole process, and I'll quite honestly, when I finish, it'll be kind of a gap in my life as well. It's been hard to sort of fit in with all the other things going on as well. Really, really hard. But it's something I will miss. But I would love to carry on doing research in the classroom and continuing to look at the sort of the bigger picture of education as well.
And I know that, or if I recall from your an earlier email, you're fine with us putting some of the your work up on the EduTalk website. And you know, from what I've read, I really enjoy your style of writing, and obviously the quality is fantastic. So in fact, and just based on what you were saying a minute ago, Phil, about the interestingly titled Taming the Symbolic Violence of the New National Four Qualifications, and you mentioned there about the,
I think I'd maybe had a glass of wine too many at that point. But I was really genuinely quite angry, and I still am about the National Fours in terms of you know, what I see as lack of equality there as well. And that's something I think that everyone, and I mean everyone in education, really needs to take a close eye at after this year and reassess things and think what is best for young people's life chances. Because when you think about it, with the folk who maybe go down the route of doing National Four qualifications, they possibly could leave the school without having done any kind of external exam. The only exam they might come across in their lives might be sort of a driving test. And, you know, I think that's really unfair for kids who are maybe less academic but still want to go through the rigour of sort of a final sort of external qualifications as well. So I think that's something that needs to be looked at in a lot more detail as well.
I have to be honest, I've not heard many people talking about that from a social justice perspective, but the reason why I'll be reading that paper this evening or over the weekend is this is exactly what I was having. I'll just not Neil McCullough's the mass as such, but I'll just say that this was a discussion that I was, a very interesting discussion that I was actually part of earlier on today with our parent and carers group at the school. Very rigorous discussion, fascinating to get everybody's perspectives, and I think it is something that the light needs to be shone on, and just to have more of a conversation about
absolutely.
I mean, whether this is a good thing or whether it's not.
I don't know if we've run out of time or
no. On you go, Phil, of course.
It's just to say as well, I think the great thing about chartered teachers as well, you have to approach things from, if you like, from every direction. And although I was very strongly passionate about maybe the negative side of NAT4, I had to look at things as well from a, you know, the potential of making it into something good in the future as
of
well.
Course.
And I think the one thing that came out there as well, that when you actually dig a bit deeper, a lot of employers are more interested maybe in soft skills and people skills to a certain extent, and maybe some of the academic skills as well. So you have to kind of balance the whole argument up as well.
Absolutely.
So it's always a little bit more complicated than you first think as well. But it's about seeing the bigger picture. And if you can get all that information out to folk through Chartered Teacher, then at least it gives people a chance to make the right decisions as well.
Mm-hmm. Phil, thank you so much for giving up your time.
No, it's a pleasure. Thank you as well for giving me the opportunity. I hope people maybe learn something from this as well. And I'd love to hear the feedback from folk as well, and that will generate ideas and questions for me as well to think about.
Absolutely, and we'll forward any correspondence on to you. So thanks again, and best wishes for the future.